But it's pretty amazing when you think about, when we read the Christmas story, we talk about shepherds who with great joy ran and shared some news that that the angels had announced as hallelujahs and joy and songs from heaven declaring something good was happening. We read the story of the baby in Elizabeth's womb just leaping for joy. We read of shepherds and wise men coming to just something incredible was happening around the Christmas season that we celebrate and remember as Laura's reminded us, at the beginning of God's presence here on earth, bringing joy and hope to us in this broken world where we so often have turned away from the things that God intended. And I guess that last song that we sang was just some of the words there that Laura's already alluded to, apart from us singing, that we would love the way that God has loved us, and that we would know what it means to truly love others in the way that we need to in a imperfect world. And I'd like to read as an introduction to my message, and just as we look at the kind of love that brings joy when change comes, when something really bad is turned to be transformed into something good, whether it's your life, whether it's a church, whether it's something in the community, something in the nation, or something in the world, when evil is overcome and good takes its place, it brings great joy. And the kind of love that God has shown us in Christ points us to what will bring joy to the hearts of every human being should they open themselves to God. And if we as Christians live out the kind of love, and particularly this morning, we'll be looking at what it means to love like we've been loved. And that'll be the focus of my message, because when we do that, we will bring joy to many people, both in our families, in our church, in our community, in our neighbours, and in our nation, and even in the world. But just as a scripture, as a reminder of the big story that the Christmas story is part of, in 1 John chapter 3, if you have your Bibles, you might like to read this, and starting at verse 11. It says, this is the message that you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Starting at verse 16, and you can still listen to what I've just read as well. But it says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love just with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. This then is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. Whenever our hearts condemn us, for God is greater than our hearts and he knows everything. And dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask, because we obey his commands and do what pleases him. And this is the command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he has commanded us. Those who obey his commands live in him, and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Holy Spirit that he gave us. Let's pray as we come to hear what God might say further to us this morning. Father, we ask that as we focus on the joy of your presence in the world, as we focus on the joy that your love brings, Father, we ask that your Spirit and your Word would speak to us about how we can live out that love in the world, how we can be Christ to others by living and loving in the way that Christ has loved us. And we ask, Father, by the power of your Spirit, that you would speak to us further this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the things that is really profound when I read it, and it really highlighted to me one of the, I guess, the answer to the issues that we see in the world today, I read an article about some journalists who interviewed Mother Teresa when she was alive, and this reporter, journalist, came to Mother Teresa and said to her, do you read the papers? Do you listen to the radio so that you know what's going on in the world, so that you know what is wrong with the world? And there was a very profound response that Mother Teresa gave. She said, I don't have to read the papers. I don't have to listen to the radio to know what is wrong with the world. She said, what is wrong with the world is that people don't know how to love each other. And this morning, as we focus on the fact that joy has come into the world, that love has come into the world, there was great celebration in the heavens and in the Middle East, and there was great joy and celebration when God was breaking in to show us what true love is. And I guess even in our, as we listen to popular songs and the words of songs that people sing, there's a cry in the world to know what true love is, whether it's romantic love or just to find that sense of reality that people know is out there. People know there is some connection that they can find which will fulfill them, and they look for it in all sorts of places. It's not a reflection of my music taste, but Shania Twain sings a song that was written 20 years before she sang it, and the title of that song is I Want to Know What Love Is. And she talks about the pain of life and how she's been alone and how she longs to know what true love, and it finishes with I know you can show me, I want to know what love is. And when I think about, as I've moved around in churches, and occasionally I've heard someone say to me, they say in a church congregation where we claim to know God's love and His grace, people have said to me occasionally, they say, I feel closer to my work colleagues than I do to my brothers and sisters in the church. Now that might be their problem with their attitude. It might be the church's problem. I'm not trying to solve that this morning. I'm just saying that even within the church, there's a cry and a hunger to know what true love is. What is this love that God has shown us, which not only transforms us, but transforms the world? And in 1 Corinthians 13, the first three verses talks about how you can know your Bibles backwards and have all the answers to any theological questions. But if you don't have love, you are nothing. You're just a sounding gong and a sounding cymbal. Or you can the gift of tongues, and men have the gift of tongues of men and angels, but if you don't have love, you're only a resounding gong and a clanging cymbal. Gift of prophecy, fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and have faith to move mountains. It all sounds like you would say, well, God is powerfully present, but it says, but if you do not have love, you are nothing. And then it says at the end, and I struggle with this one because I work for a Christian overseas community development agency where you're helping people out of poverty. It says you can go home today and put your house up for sale and sell all your possessions and write a check out to Baptist World Aid to go to the projects that we channel to through Christian people. And it says that you can even do that and not have love. It says, I can give all I possess to the poor and give my body to hardship that I may boast. But if I don't have love, you gain nothing. Even if you gave everything to the poor this morning, if you don't have love in your heart that motivates you, feel free to do it. That's fine, but you are nothing. It doesn't count for anything if you don't have love in your heart. And so the challenge for me as I share with you this morning, as we... the source of this joy that has come into the world is the kind of love that we are talking about and that people are hungry for. Dietrich Bonhoeffer says, only he or she who knows God truly knows what love is. And the passage that I read, the Jesus who was born in the manger, the one who came and there was great joy and celebration as he arrived, has shown us the kind of love that God has for us. And I guess as the things that I share with you for a few moments now, it is simply unpacking the kind of love that the Father has for us, that He has revealed in the person of Jesus, and all the things that we sing with great passion and rightly so, with great joy about what God has done for us. As we think about that, then the challenge is how we can live that love out in the world and bring joy to those around us in a way that transforms their lives, just as God is transforming your lives. And as I share about that kind of love, I want to talk about people who are living out the love that Jesus has shown them. And where I experienced this was I've probably done something that, hands up here, if anybody celebrated their 60th birthday in the northern reaches of Thailand, near the Thai border where the Pol Pot had his last stand, just in a rural community. And I was visiting some projects there, and we met in a little food place where we somehow they rusted the half a dozen people I was with, got a bit of a cake together, and we celebrated in this area where the staff that we are funding are working in the FH program and helping people out of poverty. And when I met these people, they are people, some of the staff have come from the Christian people who have come from the southern part of Cambodia, who lost auntie. You all know about Pol Pot, don't you? He murdered a quarter of the population. And listen to this. This will challenge your thinking. In the name of justice for the poor and to get rid of pride and vanity. See how you can have some good aims, but just be so evil and despotic in carrying them out. And it's probably good to be aware, too, that the seeds that allowed someone like Pol Pot to come to power was because the colonial powers that were ruling Cambodia wanted their taxes paid even when there was a drought and no money and people were dying. The previous colonial powers had taxed the people and people had died as a result because they just had to support the colonial powers. And so someone like Pol Pot came to power. But that's a bit of an aside. The issue is that these people who had lost aunties and uncles, brothers and sisters and grandparents under Pol Pot were helping people in this northern area. Because Pol Pot fed them, he had to be protected when he was in the north of the country. These people who are living in poverty now, who are being helped by the Christians from the south, still think Pol Pot is a good man. And I saw the staff, the Christian lady who showed me around and sat with people in their homes. We didn't talk about Pol Pot. But these staff are showing radical forgiveness and love for people who think their worst enemy, the person who murdered their family members, is still a good man. And yet these Christians are working in this area, helping people out of poverty. Radical forgiveness, which God has given you in Christ. Love for enemies. It says in Romans that while we were still sinners, and the Greek has the idea, while we were still shaking our fist in the face of God, Christ came and died for us. Christians living out the kind of love that God has shown us in the person of Jesus. One of the signs of being full of the Holy Spirit, it says of Stephen when he was being stoned, how he spoke these words where he said, full of the Holy Spirit, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And that's one of the signs that I don't hear talked about a lot, that being full of the Holy Spirit is having that power to forgive your enemies, to show radical forgiveness. And when that love begins to break into the world, great joy will begin to come into the lives of those who are experiencing receiving that kind of love for you. And then the second thing that I saw in these staff in the northern reaches of Thailand, and all these things are almost self-evident, they're not siloed, you can do one without the other. They were committed to seeking the good of others. When Christ came and he was born in a manger and he lived and died and rose again, he rose again to transform our lives. He came to seek our good for all eternity. He left the glories of heaven that we might live eternally in a close relationship with God. But the resurrection also says that the life of Christ is breaking into the world through God's people. And we are living out that spirit of truth and love that God has shown us in seeking our good for all eternity, but also he is committed to helping us live this life as well. And so these staff are there. Their focus is the good of those that they have forgiven and who they're living with and stay in the community for months on end working with these people. And Jesus was one who came and lived and walked this as he grew up, as he crawled out of the manger and became an adolescent and became an adult and lived his life. He went about. He was accepting and inclusive and seeking the good of others, no matter who they were or how they were being treated by others. And I guess this is in terms of this principle that brings great joy when someone seeks your good? How do you feel when someone genuinely cares for you and does something for you that you know is coming from their heart? How does that make you feel? I guess this is one area where when I read C.S. Lewis, he talks about eros or sexual love, family love, friendship love, and then he talks about God's love as though it's something separate and distinct from these other areas of what it means to love. And I want to say to you, I disagree a little bit with C.S. Lewis on this. I think love is love where you seek the good of others, whether it's in the marriage bed, whether it's in friendship, whether it's in the family, whether it's in the church, whether it's in loving your enemies. Love is just simply love. You seek the good of others. It'll transform some marriages, transform some families, transform some churches. If we simply did what Jesus did in coming and living and dying for us, seeking our good for eternity and this life, if we let that, I guess, that principle of love where we seek the good of others shape how we treat those who we are relating to, whether it's sexually, friendship, family, it transforms nations. The simple principle of nations are to justice is simply public love and be agents of justice, to seek the good of others, both with, not just in our own nation. That's very selfish. We need to be thinking of the good of those who suffer and struggle, often through no fault of their own. How it transforms everything from the most personal and intimate relationship in life to the parliaments of Australia, to the White House, to if that principle shaped what people thought and did and actions, the world begins to know some more joy because people are going to be helped. People are going to be transformed as people seek their good. And the third thing I saw in the staff who were working in this area in the northern reaches of Cambodia where Pol Pot had his last stand is that they were characterised by incredible humility. And I mentioned already the accepting and inclusive relationships. Jesus humbled himself and came and lived. He left the glories of heaven and came and lived on this earth, walked amongst us in our brokenness and our sinfulness and our pain. And he felt the grief and the pain of living in this broken world. And he had that humility. One of my favourite passages is Philippians 2. It says, don't be selfish, don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look only on your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude as that of Christ. If we want to bring joy to those around us, if we want to bring joy to our family members, if we want to bring joy to others in the church, if we want to bring joy to a refugee, if we want to bring joy to people in other nations who are struggling often through no fault of their own, we need to have a spirit of attitude and consider everyone made in the image of God, and that we are humble and respect. We don't have to agree with everything they say or do. We're not talking about whether that issue. We're talking about how we see them as a person, born and with the image of God just as much as you have. That's how Christ saw us. He saw us as worthy of coming and doing, living and dying and giving his life for us, born in a manger in the most humble of all beginnings. The Lord of the heavens came and lived amongst us. And if as Christians, where Christians are showing that humility, great joy comes into the lives of people. And I guess the other thing that I saw in these staff that reflected the living out of the gospel, living out the kind of love that Jesus would have, is their radical generosity. Some of them are I've got a photo of one of the volunteers in that picture there and if you're getting bored, you can play Where's Wally and see if you can find me in that picture. In a school that was built in this area, one of the Christian staff there was, even though there were other paid staff, she worked voluntary to help these people. There's 140 kids in that school that has emerged as a result of these people living out the gospel amongst the poor, loving these people in the way that God has loved them. Radical generosity, working as a volunteer full-time in the school for the sake of just helping these people and obviously as they have opportunity sharing. Can that just move it on to the next slide. sharing God's love with in a very generous way. And the final thing that we see that Jesus, and there's so many things, and I've had to nail it down to just three or four things this morning. We see that Jesus was someone who spoke up when public love was being violated, where justice, and I found it really helpful, having grown up as a very conservative Christian, the word justice sort of made me think of all that supposed social gospel nonsense, as if to love the poor and to seek their good was a bad thing, and all you got to do is talk about Jesus and not worry about their practical needs, which is unbiblical and a heresy. And it's simply that we are to live out the gospel, and that has practical implications as well. And obviously, if we go one way or the other and just focus on one or the other, that becomes just as unhealthy on either side in terms of bringing joy and hope to people. And so Jesus spoke up when and it was to the religious leaders that he spoke up about issues of justice. And here, just to read a scripture that Jesus said, he says, the passage has eluded me. But you know where he talked to the Pharisees, and he called them whited sepulchres. You look clean on the outside, but your hearts are just unclean, and you need to clean the inside. And he called them whited sepulchres, and all these strong words that said you need and how you will tithe every fine all your herbs and spices and make sure everything is tithe, but you neglect the greater things of justice and mercy and concern for others. That is part of living out our faith and part of sharing God's love. And so as we look at how Jesus came and lived and died and rose again and gave us his spirit, he takes a heart of stone, and that's talking about putting this kind of love in our hearts so that we begin to live out the gospel and to live it out in our marriages, in our families, in our churches, in our nations, and in our international relations. When God's love permeates all those areas, it will bring great joy to the world. I'm sure you've seen the images of incredible joy when someone has been helped in another country where they had no hope, and where they are given hope because someone cared enough to think of them and to channel something to them in a practical way that has helped them. And as I said earlier, when people are in desperate need and you help them in practical ways, their hearts are open to what you want, what you're on about, what's driving you, what's motivating you, and you can share in a way that they'll hear about the love and the grace of God. So I want to leave you with a challenge this morning at this Christmas season, as we, particularly this morning, if you want to bring joy to someone in your family, to your husband or your wife, if you're married, to your kids, to your church, to somebody in the church, to someone in the community, your neighbour, if you want to see our government speak up in, see our government do things that will bring joy to other nations, bring joy to people and families and children in another nation, then you can speak up and just share in appropriate ways, in a positive way, the kind of things that are important from God's perspective, not from your perspective, but from God's perspective. You are speaking on the authority of God when you call people to be just and fair and loving in the broader community. But over this Christmas season, I just leave with you the opportunity, one of the few ways that you can share God's love in places that you will probably never go. You may have seen the little book of big gift ideas. I have a kit out there. If anybody, the books are on the table if you want to fill in and get some last minute Christmas gifts. I have them available out on the table. And then on Christmas Day, as Jason has already alluded to, you'll have envelopes where you can have an offering that will fund Christians to help people out of poverty. You will bring hope, not only hope in this life, but as Christians are funded, there's opportunity over time. As it is here, relationally, people begin to talk about their faith and people come to faith, and you can do that. And this morning, the main focus as opportunity this morning when I spoke to Mike is that you can sponsor a child where you go on bringing hope by funding what is the kind of community development that we've been talking about this morning. And that school that I pointed to, where these Christians are living out God's love, what started as a weekly kids club, and the kids loved it so much they wanted to meet more often. They started meeting most days, and then they realized they needed a school, and then the community worker that's been funded by the sponsorship helped the community to realize that the government would provide at least one teacher and other volunteers could work with them, and then a school for the room's been divided. There's 140 kids in that school that's emerged as Christians have lived out the love of Christ in a community where they could easily just ignore and push away these people. There's the families often struggle to feed their families for 6 months of the year. Have been shown new farming methods that enable them to feed their families as people have lived out the love of Christ in Cambodia. And water, I saw a water dam that they were building. They used to build it in a way that would just wash away every time there was a flood. And now the community, not you paying for somebody to go with an excavator from Australia and do the job, but the community has found out a way and been helped and funding their improved water so that the families will have healthier lives and toilets. All those things that you hear about are all part. No one thing is the answer, multiple things. As Christians live out the love of Christ, transform a whole community and bring great joy. I've got photos of the families and the kids, and just see the joy they have when they have the opportunity that without the help that we give them, the community workers wouldn't be working there. And I just leave you with that challenge this morning, that if you do want to sponsor, I've got two or three Cambodian children. There's Sri Lanka, Bangladesh, Nepal. There's other children there as well. If anybody feels God is speaking to you about that, if it's something you've been thinking about a long time, then for $46 a month, you can sponsor a child and bring hope and transformation to their lives. We'll just watch a video as just a 1 minute video. If it's okay, if it's going to do the job, we'll just watch a little video just to help you, just a very short video to be aware of some of the impact that sponsorship can have.
And when I am big, become a doctor. I would like to do that. My parents are struggling to educate us. I would like to study and help my parents one day. The children of this village should be able to grow without sickness or disease.
At Baptist World Aid, we believe that children like Nayana are key to overcoming poverty. Poverty that has gripped their communities for generations. But it also takes people who care. It takes you, because when you sponsor a child like Nayana, you give that child the ability to change their world.
Ten sponsorships in Cambodia will fund a community worker for 1 year, and the kind of things that I talked about, schools, water, food, health, toilets, all those things emerge as the community helps itself. So I leave you with that challenge. If you feel God is speaking to you about that, let's pray as I finish. Father, we thank you that in this Christmas season, it's understandable why there was such joy at your arrival 2,000 years ago. And Father, when you arrive in people's lives through our lives, we bring great joy to people, both in this life and for eternity. And Father, we pray that each of us will be agents of that joy. The things that I've heard that this church is already doing, meals and hampers and things, just that little thing that can bring a spark of hope. And Father, we pray that that many people will know joy through the actions of this congregation, Golden Grove Church, this Christmas season. I pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.